Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him, former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger, founder of law enforcement consultants at lawenforcementconsultants.com. Oh yeah, we're not done yet. There's even more. There's a book over his shoulder, On Thin Ice. He's the author of the bestseller, On Thin Ice. More information at onthinicebook.com. So thanks so much for being on the show, Jeff. Appreciate it. And also a shout out to our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go the great lengths to bring the show to you. Our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, and also Complianttechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arms sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TwoBells.com, FishOrlandoBash.com, with Zach. So he's got the Bass Fishing Charter. So if you're going to Orlando, my advice, let the wife, the kids, grandkids, let them go enjoy Disney, Mickey Mouse, and all those guys. And you go hook up with Zach and do the Bass Fishing Charter at fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, I should say that I got the lip from hooking up with Zach and doing the alligator hunting. That's what I should do. But anyhow, you can do the alligator hunting with Zach at fishorlandobass.com. And make sure you take pictures because we want to see them. A shout out to Brian Birch for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, formerlawman.com, and Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today, guys? We got a great lineup. So our main topic, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Michigan Senator Slotkin forced to admit no illegal orders issued despite controversial mutiny video. I want to cover this because, well, number one, it's at Tampa Free Press, which is our buddy Brian Burns owns it. And number two, there is such a huge tie-in from this military campaign to a law enforcement campaign, basically saying the same thing. I'm not even talking about sovereign citizens. I'm just talking so many citizens are saying you don't have to obey a legal order. So we're going to discuss that. And we've even got a story that even helps prove the point. Then we got first Antifa terrorism case. Five people plead guilty in the Alvarado ICE facility attack. Then we got an officer acquitted in the shooting death of Takiyah Young, a pregnant mother accused of shoplifting. And that's the tie-in story I'm going to be talking about because everybody's up in arms. It's a sad story. Our officer was vindicated, as I think he should have been, but we're going to talk about that in the tie-in with our main topic. Also, Thurston County deputy fights with a DUI suspect. This is a female deputy. I was pretty impressed with what I saw, but it's a DUI suspect who grabs her gun at a crash scene, and the fight over the gun is on. Wow. Then we got Georgia PD chief resigns. He is charged with using LPRs, license plate readers, to stalk and harass people. So yeah, there's a chief job opened up in that's close to Atlanta. Then an elderly man holding a replica firearm is fatally shot by Alpine deputies during a wellness check. Wellness checks can be dangerous, guys. And so that's all we have. I think that should sufficiently tie us up in time, Jeff, until the end of the show. Now, everybody that's watching the video portion of the show is looking at my lip and saying, what the freaking heck happened? So I told Jeff before the show. So a lot of you guys know that I have a blind dog. He has no eyes. He had eyes when we adopted him, but they both had to be surgically removed. Sad story. But I play rough with him. He's a tough dog. He's 20 pounds of toughness, Jeff. he's a poodle mix. I think they call him a cockapoo or whatever, but anyhow, he doesn't like it when I grab his paws and I pull up on the fur on his paw. He hates it. And so we have this thing where we do it, right? And I'll usually bleed, but it's my ear or something. So Friday night, my wife's I'm in the master bedroom, she's in the bathroom doing stuff with her face and stuff, and I'm on the bed playing around with my boy, and I'm doing that, and all of a sudden he's growling and stuff. I'm still doing it, I'm not listening to him, and then he just goes and he grabs my lip, and I'm like, he's missing half his teeth. So I instantly grab my mouth and I go to the mirror to inspect the damage, and there's nothing. She goes, what's wrong? And I'm just holding my, and as soon as I move my hands, the blood, oh my gosh, it was like blood all over the mirror, the vanity, the frame in the mirror, the floor. And I'm having like, and my lip is like filleted open. It's way deep enough for stitches. I should have got, well, I don't want to get my lip stitched up, but definitely most doctors would have said, you need stitches. So it's all the way through both sides, flayed open. So I'm having to hold it together with both hands to keep it from bleeding. And my wife's so mad at me that she doesn't want to go help me out with anything. And I'm just asking her, look, I'm trying to figure out what if I need to go to the ER or whatever. And then she's not going to help me. Then it's like, look, I'm either going to bleed out, I'm going to drive myself in my SUV, get blood all over the place, or call 911. But I can't, if I let go to call 911 through the amount of blood, it was ridiculous. So she finally goes and gets me some strips, and I put them on my lip, and it holds everything together. And I took the strips off this morning. So that's what you guys are looking at. It is the remnants of this. At least it's, you know, it's opened up a little bit, but it's all dried, and it's, you know, it'll heal. It should heal up just fine. And the best part about it is that I didn't have to get stitches. I toughed it out without the stitches. So I'm sure Jeff's done that many times with the hockey, because he probably is like me and he hates stitches. So especially in the face area, you know. So
if it's not on the face area, I just use super glue.
Well, you know, I asked her about super glue and she said, absolutely not. But I thought that there were some stitches there were some wounds that they actually super glued. So I thought, is that right? But she said not on the lip. I don't know if that's a thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't think that they would do it on the lip, but I would actually just, I have cut myself when I've been putting in new windows and cut myself.
Crap. That would be sharp. Yeah.
I just take super glue and hold it together. Yeah.
So anyhow, so that's it. So, and then after you get old enough, you just don't care how, you know, I mean, you care how you look, but I'm going to the gym working out. I got like two of these strips across my lip, you know, and I'm just like, people probably think, they've been watching me going to the gym wearing like a knee brace, you know, from the mid thigh all the way down to my ankle. And now I got all this crap going on. So they must think that I fight for a living or something, and that I'm not too good at it. So I don't know. So, well, if you're ready, let's go ahead and Betty says butterfly Band-Aid. So Betty's been around the block, apparently. So, all right. So, well, look, we're getting some good commentary here. And at least I had the cold Black Rifle Energies from MVS that I could hold up against my lip to keep it from like really hurting. So thank you, MVS. Appreciate that. So let's go to our first story, guys. It's a main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. So TampaFreePress.com, a Michigan Senator Slotkin forced to admit no illegal orders issued despite controversial mutiny video. So look, I'm going to go through this and hopefully everybody is familiar with what's been going on. Senator Alessa Slotkin, one of the senators that joined in on this bandwagon here, admitted on national television on Sunday that she has seen no evidence. I'm going to repeat that. No evidence of illegal orders coming from the White House. And this is just days after she starred in a controversial video encouraging U.S. troops to disobey commands that they deemed to be unlawful, which is always a scary thing. And like I said, there is a tie-in with civilians on this. The admission came during a test exchange on ABC's. Now, it's ABC of all things. And we're not talking about Fox News, Newsmax. This is ABC This Week. It's the program. And the host is Martha Raddatz, and she pressed the senator on the substance behind her viral campaign. Like, how do you support that? And Slotkin and a group of Democratic veterans framed their message as a constitutional refresher. Critics have slammed the move as a dangerous political theater designed to sow confusion and insubordination within the military chain of command. And here's a quote, "To my knowledge, I'm not aware of things that are illegal," is what she said. And she conceded the point that, as far as she knows, Trump has given no unlawful directives. And despite the lack of evidence, Slotkin defended the video, which implies the commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, is rogue, by citing vague legal gymnastics regarding military posturing in the Caribbean and in Venezuela. She could not provide a single instance where the administration violated the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So there you have it. The tie-in, if you guys are wondering, and Jeff and I did not talk about this before the show, but there's so many people, and again, I'm not talking about just sovereign citizens, but so many people when they deal with cops, they're thinking that, hey, I don't have to obey an illegal order. But my counter is that you wouldn't know what an illegal order was, you know, if there was one. And I wouldn't necessarily know either. There's a lot of information that we don't know and that we're not privy to and that we should not be privy to when we get pulled over or have exchanges with cops. And we've got a story, our first video, that's going to be a perfect example of that. So it is dangerous when you start telling people not to obey illegal orders, especially when they don't know what they are. And let me tell you, it's not like there is a huge issue with illegal orders being issued all over the place. It's not a systemic problem. It's not an issue that needs to be addressed. And there are normally, I'm not going to say 100%, but there are normally there are normally venues that help you exhaust that after the fact, whether it be civil or whether it be criminal. But that said, Commander Jeff, I'd love to get your input on this. We've got a little bit of time before first commercial break, but the floor is yours.
Well, I think clearly, you have to do what you're instructed to do unless it's immoral, unethical, or illegal. But there's quite a bit to unpack here, but talk about it after the break.
All right, coming up on our first break, guys. So look, stick with us. This is a great topic. I can't wait to get into it and then they cover the rest of the story. We'll be right back. All right, guys, as police officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. But besides that, as cops, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online option, it's almost like the nuclear option, right? I mean, the choices are limitless. And I want to remind everybody, but really is what is most important here, supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And yeah, we're not done. They're going to do you one better for the loyal listeners of the show. They've given me a code to give to you. It's radio15. That'll get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. So again, radio15, type that in when you go and shopping at Gauls.com. 15% off, an amazing opportunity, and gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends, Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, guys. And hey, you guys know the drill, and you know that they've got the glove. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, and stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. And like I just said, their flagship product, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Jeff sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. We got a lot of commentary going on the stream. Tutton, I haven't seen Tutton before, so welcome to the show, Tutton, on Facebook. Glad to see you. And our MVS and all the guys over on Rumble, thanks for watching as well. He thinks that my wife gave me the flat lip and trying to take her mango drink. So you're on to me, MVS. You got it. We just got done talking about a story. I know, Jeff, I didn't give you a lot of time before the commercial break to get into it, but it was our main story. I'll let you kind of update the audience, if you will, on what the topic was, and I'd like to get your insight on that.
Yeah, really, it's about the wisdom of making any comment or any type of statement relative to not following a legal order, an illegal order. And the reality is it's best to leave that to the courts to determine what's legal or illegal. I don't know what motivated them to do this. The only thing that I can think of is, we had England who backed out of sharing some intelligence with the United States based on some of the actions we're taking confronting these drug boats. And they're saying perhaps that could be illegal, but I haven't seen anything that has confirmed that that's the case. That's not something for the layman to determine. That would be something far and above our pay grade. So if you're in the military and you're being given direction, you need to follow that until you have a higher source telling you otherwise. So I don't really see the wisdom in saying these sorts of things. It just kind of creates conflict and some divisiveness that doesn't necessarily have to occur. But I, like I said, I don't really know exactly what motivated them to do it. But it's bad advice.
Good point. The time with law enforcement, It just kind of scares me when I hear people saying stuff like that. And it's, I guess it's the same for the military too, because, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. If you don't mind, Jeff, I'd like to take the stories out of order and skip over the update and go straight to video one, if that's okay. And it's in your hometown of Ohio too, correct? And I think there's a good tie in here. So, which is why I kind of like to do this. And we have 5 minutes. So I think we got plenty of time. So guys, remember the concept on people being told, whether you're military or civilians, you know, you don't have to comply with the illegal orders. And let's jump to this first story with a video component at rumble.com. And it comes from our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, and it's at rumble.com. And like so many conservative type content like our show, ended up getting kicked off YouTube. And we practically did. So the title of this is Officer Acquitted in a Shooting Death of Takiya Young, a Pregnant Mother Accused of Shoplifting.
Hey, stop. Hey, out of the car. 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 They said you're still stuffed, do not leave. Get out of the car. Then get out. No. Then get out.
Get out of the fucking car.
Get out of the car.
Get out of the fucking car.
Get out of the car!
Shots fired.
Shots fired! Stop the goddamn car! Stop the goddamn car!
On 73
Hudson Route,
he's
going to
be at
599-171-7. Okay, get her out. Put foot's on the gas, Sil. Foot's on the gas. Good boy. Come here, come here. Get out of the car.
Get out of the fucking car.
Get out of the car!
Now the video is out, but Jeff, I don't remember ever seeing this video before, and we never covered this on the show, so I was a little surprised to see this. Blendon Township in Ohio, where I'm sure you'd be able to tell us where it's at. A jury's been has found that Blendon Township police officer Connor Grubb, he is not guilty of murder or involuntary manslaughter and felonious assault charges in connection with 21-year-old Takiya Young's death. Now, the decision came down on Friday morning after the jury deliberated for several days. And Blendon Township Police Officer Connor Grubb faced up to life in prison if this would have gone sideways for him. Now, an attorney for the Young family, Sean Walton, said that the outcome is an American tragedy, of course, lamenting that, he said, it's a dual system of justice in the United States. The family's legal team vowed to continue the fight in civil court, because that's where the money's at, right? Where her estate sued the township and the police chief over department practices back in August. Now, during the roughly two-week trial, and that's a long time, I can only imagine the stress of the officer. Prosecutors told jurors that Young, this is a 21-year-old pregnant female, was not a threat to anyone at the time that she was shot. Defense attorneys for Officer Connor Grubb emphasized that her vehicle carried a deadly force when she accelerated it near him, rendering its use of force within the standard of being objectively reasonable. Now, jurors were shown the body cam footage of the shooting. And, you know, we have access to that, too, on the first day of testimony and testimony following over the trial's course. Remember, 2 weeks, including they heard from a use of force expert, an accident reconstructionist, an officer who responded to the scene with Grubb, and the police policy expert. They never heard from Grubb, but he did make a written statement that they read on the record by the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation state agency. So in the body cam footage, the officer said he observed Young arguing with his fellow officer, and that's true. And he positioned himself in front of her vehicle to provide backup and to protect the people that were in the parking lot. I think it was a Kroger's that she was accused from stealing from. And yeah, we do have an officer up at the window that's trying to get her, you know, just to get out of the car, get out of the car. He said that he drew his gun after he heard Young fail to comply with his partner's commands. And when she drives forward towards him, he said in the statement that he felt her car hit his legs and shins and then start to lift this body off the ground. And so both Grubb and another officer, they ended up approaching her car outside of Kroger's in suburban Columbus about a report that she was suspected of stealing alcohol from the store. She partially lowered her window, and the other officer ordered her out of the car. This is the guy that's standing right outside her driver's door. But she's not going anywhere. Instead, she rolls her car forward toward the second officer who's standing in front of her car, who fired a single bullet, and he fired her through the windshield. I was so surprised that, yeah, windshield, you know, it was close proximity, but I was so surprised that it was able to fatally hit her in the chest. And just for the sake of argument, the officer kept telling her to get out of the car. He even told her that they accused her of shoplifting. She wouldn't exit the car. Absolutely refused to. And the video shows the officer in the driver's side window. Well, I kind of went through that. It says that both officers cursed at her. Not a big deal. And they says that Young asked the officers that they were going to shoot her before she ended up driving away, but really towards them or towards the second officer. It says she turned the steering wheel to the right. The car rolls slowly forward. Our second officer fires his gun through the windshield. Moments later, the car comes to a stop. It actually kind of crashes into the building, going at very slowly. They break the driver's side window out. They're trying to save her. She's mortally wounded, pronounced dead at the hospital. And now we got the Franklin County Common Police Judge, David Young. He's got the same last name, no relation, they say. He dropped 4 of the 10 counts against the officer. And also it says that, you know, the unborn child, you know, daughter died as well, unfortunately. And it was not apparent that our shooting officer had any idea that she was pregnant. So they took that out of account. Now, I'm wrapping this up right as we're getting ready to go to our second commercial break. So, guys, stick with us. We're going to break this down, talk about this. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence that are now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. And, you know, we kind of jumped the script a little bit. The main story, the first story we started off with was pretty much the Dems telling our military, you don't have to follow illegal orders. You should not follow illegal orders. And then how that ties into what civilians have been being told for years as well. Don't follow illegal orders. And so this story that we just now are covering, officer acquitted in the shooting death of Takiya Young, a pregnant mother accused of shoplifting. And yeah, the officer was charged on this, and the jury ruled in his favor. And of course, the first thing I always look at with any use of force is if there was any complaints by the bad guy. And that is the absolute, and I firmly believe that anytime that anyone considers the actions of a police officer, the very first question you always have to ask is if you have someone that was non-compliant. And that pretty much sets the stage for whatever else might happen after that, in my opinion. That said, Lieutenant Jeff, you ready to weigh in on this one? It is Ohio, after all.
Yeah, I mean, Blandon Township, that's just outside of Columbus, the center of the state, Columbus being the capital of Ohio. And, you know, I'm very familiar with this case. I actually wrote about it in my book. And I was at the gym on Friday when I learned of the verdict. And I had pretty much two emotions. First of all, I had relief for the officer because I never want to see an officer be found guilty of a felony and look at being sentenced to prison time. I definitely never want to see that occur. But I also, at the same time, had empathy and compassion for the family of Takiya Young, because I understand their frustration. And, you know, the word vindication, I wouldn't throw that around in this case. Although the jury, which I 100% respect and appreciate the judicial system, and I honor and respect the verdict of the jury. You know, that being said, you know, at the end of the day, this certainly is not an argument of good police work. You know, when what we really had here was we had an individual that committed a petty theft, not committed in the presence of the officers, which requires that a citizen make the arrest. And I don't know if it's the officers are aware of it or not, but Kroger, their policy is that they are not desirous of prosecution. They just want the property returned. So in essence, we had a situation where an officer felt appropriate to stand in front of the vehicle, which tactical best practices tell you not to do that. So that'd be part of your training not to do that. And he drew his firearm, which would require you to have a reasonable belief that the incident could escalate to the point where deadly force could be necessary, which I'm not aware of anything the officer knew other than the fact that he put himself in front of the car, which would have then created the danger. Which she did pull away, and she was non-compliant. But in my mind, we're not judged for what we do when people are compliant. It's we earn our money for what we do when people aren't compliant, and what we do has to be objectively reasonable and has to be consistent with our training and experience. So you can see her actually turning the steering wheel to the right, which is a direction away from the officer. And she doesn't really accelerate. She does begin to pull away, and he fires one round. The other thing I found really troubling was at the moment he drew his weapon and he points the gun at her, he puts his finger on the trigger. Never allow your finger to go on the trigger until your sights are aligned and you intend to shoot. So that's a tactical blunder there. And whenever you have, and police best practices and training is that a moving vehicle in and of itself does not justify a deadly threat. That if at all possible, you are to move to get out of the way, and that you're not to shoot at or from a moving vehicle unless there is a threat other than the moving vehicle, like a gun being pointed at you from an occupant of the vehicle. So, and really the reason we don't do that is what exactly happened here. You shoot and disable the person who's operating the vehicle.
Car's still rolling.
Still moving.
Yeah.
And now you have a moving vehicle that could be a threat to anybody that could have been on the sidewalk in front of the Kroger. Luckily, there wasn't anybody there. But that's the whole rationale and justification for why we don't do that. I don't believe that any police officer in that circumstance, with the training experience that the vast majority of law enforcement officers get, that when you consider reverence for human life, there weren't alternatives. And all of that is part of the assessment of Graham versus Connor. So I don't question the ruling. I wasn't in the courtroom. I didn't hear all of the evidence. I respect all of that, but I certainly stand far short of vindicating the officer. The officer's actions were not appropriate. Did they rise to the level of a criminal conviction? Obviously not. And I'm not going to question that, but actions weren't appropriate at all in my mind.
I feel differently. I'm not saying that it's beautiful, and I would not use the word vindication either. I don't know what the complete outlay was. I don't necessarily have a problem with where he was standing, because I know that he initially started in front of the car, but then he moved to the side of the car. When she actually rolled the car forward, the first time I watched it, I thought that she may have rolled over his feet. It was that close. Now, when I watch again, she's clearly brushing up against him, his thighs, maybe the shin, but the just missed his feet. The lack of following orders, and that this is where the tie-in is. You know, the officers were completely in their right to stop her, to order her out of the vehicle, and she had to comply. That set the stage for everything else that happened. She was pregnant. They didn't know it. And in my mind, it really doesn't matter. The officer, if he's in fear of, doesn't have to be death, if he's in fear of great bodily injury, that's all he needs. And it's not like we're looking for an excuse to use deadly force, but I run in the scenario of officer created jeopardy, because you don't want to stand and force a situation where, you know, if they do something, you've got the green light, you know, solely to use, you know, lethal force. But I wouldn't have wanted him standing behind the vehicle, because how is he going to see if she's going for a gun, or what kind of safety is he going to be able to provide for the other officer? He's just not going to, you know, unless he's maybe on the passenger side and able to see into the vehicle or where he was standing at. I don't necessarily have a huge problem, you know, where he was at. It's an unfortunate situation, but for the civil portion, I certainly hope and expect that the fact that she was non-compliant and set the stage for all, if she simply would have complied, yeah, she would have got arrested for, and I don't know, I can't remember, did it say petty theft or did it say grand theft? Was it definitely a misdemeanor amount for the shoplifting? Or do you know?
It was just petty theft. It was a bottle of alcohol.
In my jurisdiction, we arrest people, you know, normally on a misdemeanor, you can only make an arrest on a crime or an offense if you witness it. In my jurisdiction in Florida, it's not a citizen's arrest. It is the police officers are making the arrest, but they can do it based off of the word of someone of someone else, like a loss profession, a loss prevention specialist. They can take their word of what happened in order to make that arrest. So it's a little different, I think, here in Florida. But it certainly wasn't pretty.
The one thing I would say though, Tripp, is that in the analysis of the appropriateness of the force that was used, the fact that she complied or didn't comply is not even to be considered. The only question you have is, would an officer with similar training and experience under similar circumstances acted in a similar way? And it requires that he was at risk of serious bodily injury or death. And we just
you're talking about justification for the force, which is not what I'm talking about.
I know, but that's what we're analyzing when you're determining whether you're having appropriate use of force. It's Graham versus Conner, the Fourth Amendment.
We're also talking about a civil lawsuit too that's coming up as well. And it's important to note that there's a justification or not of deadly force, but it's just a reminder to everybody watching this that we wouldn't even be having this conversation if she simply complied.
If my aunt had testicles, she'd be my uncle. You can't use that analysis. We are not paid as police officers to deal with people that comply all the time.
You can use that analysis all day long because, you know, if you're only wearing a hat where you're talking about police use of force, maybe, but it still doesn't change the fact that it wouldn't have happened if she simply would have complied. She bears responsibility for the death, for her own death and death of her child. It's her freaking fault. Period.
A police officer's force has to be commensurate with the severity of the crime and the actual.
I'm not saying it
level
doesn't have to be,
resistance.
But so, you can't give her a free ride for making a horrible mistake, and then everything's on the officer. But look, we got 13 seconds out. We'll pick this up when we come back and do what I got. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers and dealing with guns every day, it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble: injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. And again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're joined by co-host Jeff Wininger, former LAPD commander. We're talking about a use of force involving, well, actually, we're tying it in with the main story, which was Democrats telling our military personnel to not follow illegal orders. We tie that in with similar verbiage that's been used for citizens not obeying illegal orders from police officers. And then we jump to our first story with a video component where we have a pregnant female that's being accused of shoplifting from Kroger's, stopped by two cops. She drives forward, brushes against one of the cops, failing to comply. He fires the cop that she actually brushes up against with the car. He fires one shot through the windshield and she ends up dying, but she's pregnant. So we actually have two deaths, and the cop that was actually charged and with the trial on that, the jury found him not guilty. So that's where we're at. I just talked about a point, I mentioned that when I watch these things, I take into consideration whether or not, because 99.9% of all bad police experiences, in my opinion, are they involve some form of non-compliance. And Jeff was talking about how that has no place when you're ruling on the justification for use of force. But I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jeff. So go ahead and I'll let you finish what you were saying.
Well, there is no argument. And if she would have complied, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be having this discussion. And that's absolutely true. However, she didn't. And the fact that she didn't, it doesn't change the responsibility of law enforcement to have a response that's commensurate to that. And it's determining, in this case, the officer is found not to be criminally culpable whatsoever. But I got to tell you, if there's anybody that's out there that's still wearing a badge and uniform, if you think that that is the way to handle that situation, you're gravely mistaken. It's not the appropriate way to handle that. And it wasn't consistent with the officer's training and experience. It's not consistent with my experience of 33 years in law enforcement and what the expectation is that the LAPD has of its officers in a similar circumstance. Reality was you had a misdemeanor that was committed not in your presence, and it resulted in the death of somebody and an unborn child. And I don't see how that is the optimal outcome. And there's things that the officer could have done much differently that also could have prevented this whole thing from occurring. And the reality is this: when we take the sworn oath to serve and protect, that carries with it not only a great deal of responsibility, but a heck of a large burden, a burden that requires that our actions not only protect all citizens, but also the individuals that we may be actually trying to take into custody. And that's the reality of what we have to carry when we are law enforcement officers. And if we want to be honest about this, if that were your family member or your child that were making the same bad decisions that Takiyah made, you wouldn't be happy with the way the officer responded to that. It wasn't a good example of policing that should be emulated moving forward in those similar circumstances. I just find it hard to
feel the same on many issues. I don't see anywhere where the officer was fired. I suspect he still has his job. They mentioned department policy, but they never said whether there was any violation of it or not. I suspect that would have come into play. The tie-in that I'm making is that with all these people being told you don't have to comply with an illegal order, and there's people that are in her situation. Now, look, she probably didn't comply because she knew she was guilty and she had stolen liquor in her car and she was going to go to jail. But I use this as an example on this is what can happen, guys, when you don't comply. And I'm not saying, you know, maybe you never think it's going to escalate to the point where you end up getting shot and killed, but it easily could. And if a cop stops you, he knows more than you do. He knows why he stopped you. Maybe your car matches the description of a guy that just robbed the bank, or maybe you are wearing clothing that matches that description, or maybe they just don't. Maybe there's some other circumstances that are going on. Maybe someone has got a vendetta against you and they called a fake report on you, and the cop has to simply pull you over and make sure that, you know, that you didn't do something that they're being told you did. Not even 9 times out of 10, higher than that, the officers are going to be normally justify completely in pulling you over or giving you directives. So when you try to make these decisions and you think that you know more than the cop does, you typically don't. Because even when I get pulled over, if he tells me to put my hand on my head and stand on one foot, I'm freaking doing it. I don't have all the information he has, and I am not going to be non-compliant.
I agree 100% with that. I mean, I would encourage anybody that is contacted by the police, whether they feel that it's a justified detention or not, you go along with the program, because there is a process put into place after the incident is over and has been resolved peacefully, where if you have an issue, you can address it then. But in the heat of the moment, please, people, you absolutely want to comply. And I wish Takiyah would have complied, because we wouldn't have been here. The officer wouldn't have been put through the trauma he had to go through in the trial, and her family wouldn't have been put through all of this. So, you know, it's a tragedy across the board, but you know, we can only control what we can control. And as law enforcement officers and professionals, we want to make sure that, you know, we don't use the standard of not being convicted in criminal court as vindication. We have to hold ourselves to the highest standard of professionalism and proper conduct. And that's just the real reality.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. If you're ready to move on here, and I'm seeing some more entries. Randolph Duncan, thanks for entering. You typed in the wrong digits. It's 2B as in Bell. And you need to have an email address in there because I have no way, if you win, I have no way to get the gift card code to you. So again, if you want to win the $20 Two Bells gift card giveaway and also get the free mug and stuff, type in the number 2, the letter B for Bell, and give us your email address if you haven't won in the last 90 days. And we'll be making the announcement for the winner during the next commercial break coming up in less than 3 minutes. Let's hop over to our update story. First Antifa terrorism case, 5 plead guilty in the Alvarado ICE facility attack. I'm sure everyone remembers that one. Johnson County, Texas, 5 people pled guilty on Wednesday to terrorism-related charges after they were accused of supporting Antifa in the July 4th shooting at the Alvarado ICE Detention Center, and that was where one officer got wounded. And FBI Director Cash Patel had previously said the charges against that are in Texas. It's the first time that material support to terrorism charge has targeted the group Antifa. And they were brought by the Justice Department because President Donald Trump designated them through executive order Antifa as being a domestic terrorist organization. And federal prosecutors said that an Antifa cell carried out the attack that included gunfire and fireworks that were aimed towards immigration facility people. It lists the people that each entered a plea of guilty and providing material support to terrorists in the federal court in Fort Worth. And they face up to 15 years in prison at sentencing. Ouch. And there's also cases against others that are still ongoing. So that's the latest and the greatest involving that one. Commentary, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, my greatest takeaway on this, because I read a little bit more than what was actually in the article. I researched a little bit. And apparently what their tactics were was to fire off these fireworks and commit the vandalism in order to draw these individuals out of the facility to then be able to attack them. And we have to, as law enforcement officers, be cognizant of the fact that things may not be as they appear. And it may not be just as simple as somebody who's firing the fireworks and committing a vandalism. They may have an intention in or doing that in order to set up some type of an ambush. It's kind of like when you get a radio call to a location and it happens to be on a cul-de-sac. You know, you need to be very aware of what you're entering. So it just, that was the thing for me, as a law enforcement professional that stuck out. And I felt that should be the takeaway, that we really need to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to ensure that we have officer safety going into responding to these types of incidents, because it may be a ploy to get you to become more vulnerable.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, it's like three-dimensional thinking, Jeff. So that's pretty good. And you're right. You know, what you said may have just helped save a life. So guys, even if it's some of these accident calls, you know, they're just being set up for ambush. You know, you just never know. And we don't always have we're not always fortunate to have maybe a partner or two-man unit or backup with even being within 30 minutes of where we're at. So, guys, and I didn't realize that we were coming up on the end of the show this quickly, but we have. So let me just go and announce our winner for the Two Bells giveaway. And Bill BC over on Rumble, congratulations on the win. I'm going to go in and get that gift card to you after the show. So again, congratulations, Bill BC. And guys, I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue, but first, a huge thank you to former LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger, also author of the new book, On Thin Ice, at onthinicebook.com. And look, it makes for a better show. It's a boring show when everybody agrees on everything. So the difference in points and opinions, and Jeff certainly has got a ton of experience with LAPD. It's refreshing to let you guys have more to hear and the experience from two different people. So the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblood.org. Let me just mention them. Thanks again to Jeff for being on the show. A shout out again to Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, Official, OrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.